Oh my God, that's so dark.
Coming in number two, How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World. That pulled in $14.7 million this past weekend. This is the final, so we've been told, of the How to Train Your Dragon films, which follow a young boy and his young dragon as they make their way in the world. First two were pretty good. I like them. I don't have kids. If I had kids, it would probably be a see it, but for me, it's a Netflix when I get a chance.
Honestly,
kind of thing.
Like some kids' movies, I'm all over. Like, I really enjoyed, I can't think of the name of it, but the one where it's like each different character is a different emotion.
That would be Inside Out, Pixar.
Yes. My nieces love that. And I sat there being like, shh, I want to see what's happening next.
Yeah.
Like, I'd say rent it just because I'll probably like get it off Amazon with my nieces.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it'll be a good entertaining kids film for years to come. So, but if you got kids now and you're looking for something to see, it's kid friendly and probably worth checking out.
Friendly, as I like to put it.
Number three, Tyler Perry's A Madea Family Funeral. Yes. This has a 13% on Rotten Tomatoes. And the and I will tell you,
that sounds about right.
I will tell you that the audience score isn't much higher at 25%. But the thing about it is these movies cost like $1 million, $2 million to make, and it made $12.5 million at the box office. So, you know, I'm not going to see it. That's a skip it for me, along with the rest of the Madea films.
I mean, he's just got like a niche crowd.
Yeah.
That is inexplicably into him.
Yeah.
But no, for the most part, I mean, skip it. Yeah.
Number four, The Lego Movie 2, the second part, made $3.9 million this past weekend. It's actually holding pretty well at the box office. I've seen it. It is not as good as the first film, but it is a nice continuation of the story. It's got a couple of great songs in it. Ultimately, to me, in the theaters, it's a skip it unless you got kids, or I should say it's a rent it. Like, watch it when it's on Netflix. Watch it at home.
I mean, I'll watch it when I'm stoned.
Yeah, that's probably what it's good for. Not quite as
clever. The first one was really fun stoned, I will say.
Not quite as clever as the first one. And the things they did in the first one, they didn't do in the second one.
Because, I mean, that was the...
Yeah, the manipulation of time and the choppy editing.
Yeah, like
and
all
the,
of that was super cool.
Partly cut off jokes. They don't do that in this one as much.
Oh, a bunch of dummies.
But they have great musical numbers in it to make up for that. So, you know. Number five, Alita Battle Angel. I keep hearing good things about it, but I just can't get worked up for another CGI hero movie.
It's getting old. Like, I remember when they came out with the first Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire, and it was like, that was so exciting and so interesting.
Yeah.
And now it's almost become cliche.
I think that's ultimately what hurts it, is there's so much of this coming out.
Yeah,
now.
Like, it's just, they were like, oh my God, people like this. Let's churn it out as fast as possible.
So, for me, it's a rent it. I will definitely watch it on Netflix at some point. And when it comes out on Netflix, I'll make a point of watching it. But I'm not going to go see it in the theater because there's other stuff to go see.
Though I do think, I mean, any superhero movie is really good in IMAX.
Yeah.
But that's it. You know, like,
but I think it's out of IMAX rotation now and Captain Marvel's in there. So, you know.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to see a Marvel movie, see the one with Brie Larson, because get it.
Number six is Green Book, Academy Award winner for Best Pictures.
I actually watched that two nights ago with my father.
Did you like it?
We definitely had a shared opinion about it, which was, okay, I get why this is good. This was not an Academy Award winner. A lot of it goes very, very slow.
Yeah.
And Viggo Mortensen, like, he definitely plays his role well, but it's very cliche. It's very, like, oh my God, hit that Brooklyn accent harder. Like,
I think it's worth seeing from Mahershala.
I would say Mahershala Ali,
who's brilliant, was
fantastic in it,
so good in the movie.
But I agree. I believe it was you actually that said to me, which is very true, there's not very much character development.
No, there isn't. Which makes, in my eyes, makes what he does in the film that much better because he's creating all of that.
Well, I wouldn't say that's the thing. Is that Mahershala definitely nailed all of that. Like, there's a scene where he's in a gay romance.
Yes.
And that he, I mean, it's nailed, like, the way they did that was just nailed. But at the same time, like, vegan, like, I give it a B+, you know?
There is I've mentioned this on the show before. There is a thing that Mahershala Ali does. As WMFO Medford, they like when I say that. There's a thing that Mahershala Ali does at the end of every performance when he's playing on the piano. And you see this happen several times in the movie.
Yeah.
Where the song stops and all of a sudden this smile shows up on his face and he turns to the audience.
Yeah.
And it is a very deliberate choice on his part to do that. And he does it consistently.
And that definitely, I agree, that definitely like... And lends itself to the role, to how much he enjoys entertaining people.
But it's also, but he doesn't necessarily enjoy entertaining these people. and it offers this little window into his character, the way that he does it. And once you know to look for it, you will see it every single time. It's a brilliant little bit of stagecraft that Mahershala Ali brings to this. And one of the reasons why I thought he absolutely deserved that Best Actor Oscar. Coming in at number 7 is something called Isn't It Romantic? This is a Rebel Wilson film.
Oh, yes.
New York City architect Natalie works hard to get noticed at her job, but is more likely to be asked to deliver coffee and bagels than to design the city's next skyscraper. And if things weren't bad enough, Natalie, a lifelong cynic when it comes to love, has an encounter with a mugger that renders her unconscious, waking to discover that her life has suddenly become her worst nightmare, a romantic comedy, and she is the leading lady. That's a hard skip it for me.
I'll rent it. Rebel is dope, and
yeah, not a fan.
And it, I forget which. It's one of the Hemsworths that is her romantic interest in this movie, but they are hot as hell.
They're usually good,
but it's one of those, you know, like I'd watch that with my mother. You know, like it's I know it's terrible, but I would still, you know, entertain the idea. It's a, what's the term my sister uses? Guilty pleasure.
Coming in at number 8 is Greta. A sweet, naive young woman trying to make it on her own in New York City. Stop me if you've heard this before. Frances, Chloe Grace Moretz, doesn't think twice about returning the handbag she finds on the subway to its rightful owner. That owner is Greta Isabel Huppert, an eccentric French piano teacher with a love for classical music and an aching loneliness. Having recently lost her mother, Frances quickly grows closer to widowed Greta. The two become fast friends, but Greta's maternal charms begin to dissolve and grow increasingly disturbing as Frances discovers that nothing in Greta's life is what it seems in this suspense thriller from Academy Award winning director Neil Jordan. Yep, pass. That's a skip.
Snore.
Seen it. Been there. Seen this a million times before.
I was gonna say, is this a joke? Are you telling me a joke right now?
The previews make it look like an utterly predictable, formulaic version of this kind of story. So, no thank you. Number 9, Fighting With My Family is a heartwarming comedy based on the incredible true story of WWE superstar Paige. Born into a tight-knit wrestling family, Paige and her brother Zach are ecstatic when they get the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to try out for WWE. But when only Paige earns a spot in the competitive training program, she must leave her family and face this new cutthroat world alone. Dwayne The Rock Johnson is in this, and I believe, you know who directed this?
I love that we still call him The Rock.
Who directed this? Stephen Merchant.
Really?
Like Stephen Merchant of... Stephen Merchant and...
Of like really reputable stuff.
Yeah. What's his name? The guy that did The Office.
DJ Novak?
He hosted the Oscars a few years ago. British comic funny guy.
The guy that was the Steve Carell of England.
Yes. And this is all I'm coming up with.
Oh, my God. Why can't I think of his name? I can picture him in my head right now.
Oh, this drives me nuts when the wrong piece of information gets stuck in my head. Ricky Gervais.
Thank you.
Stephen Merchant, Ricky Gervais.
That was going to hurt my brain.
This is Stephen Merchant. And the film actually has really, really good reviews. 92% from the critics, 87% audience score. This is one of the few things at the box office that everybody's like, this is a really good movie. So British comedy with The Rock.
Like, The Rock is honestly very talented. Like, people are always like, oh my God, he was a wrestler. But the dude can bring it.
I don't see comedies in the movie theater anymore because they work just as well at home for me. So it's a rent it. But, you know, if things were slow enough and I had the time, I'd put it on a see it list.
See, I'll toss my hat in the ring of say it. I actually enjoy going I never went to the movies alone, and I started a couple years ago, and I love seeing comedies alone in the theater because I don't have to apologize for how audibly I laugh. And The Rock, like I said, like, he, Dwayne Johnson, if you will, he really, there are former wrestlers that I'm like, no. But he actually, that dude can get it. He's a good actor.
He's a solid actor.
He has good comedy timing. He has good reactions. I was pleasantly surprised because I was the first person to be like, The Rock, really?
Stephen Merchant directed this, which means it's got
it's real. You know? It's real.
This is like this isn't like a little wrestling movie. This is like
this is legitimate.
I have a feeling this is going to be a huge hit once it hits.
Yeah, I'm probably going to go to the movies alone on this one. If anyone wants to come, sit at least 5 seats away from me because I want to laugh audibly.
Finally, at number 10, Apollo 11 is a cinematic space event film 50 years in the making, featuring never before seen large format film footage of one of humanity's greatest accomplishments. This is NASA footage that has been
doctored.
Yeah, well, no, it's a it's a documentary film, and it's number 10 at the box office this week, mostly because everything else at the box office is dying. That's a big part of it. The film only made $1.3 million, which isn't a heck of a lot of money. But that's better than What Men Want did, or The Upside, or this is one of those I will tell you to go see it, because I can imagine that on the big screen this is just magnificent to watch. If you don't have the opportunity, it's in limited release, so you're probably going to have to wait for cable, you're probably going to have to wait for Netflix, but if you get a chance to see something like this, this is the kind of thing you want to see in the theater. It is WMFO Medford. We are already deep into what should be the big picture, and we're going to start the big picture right now, so let's.
Well, luckily you have both the people you need for that.
Let's cue the Green Day.
America.
KMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is the big picture now.
It is indeed.
We're just wrapping up Chris Earle's Watch This. Chris will be back next week to do his show. On the Towel, Mikey D will be here at 9 o'clock.
We're covering his butt.
In between, you get us. And it's a big news week. I feel bad that we've already spent time talking about movies because stuff happened. So
much stuff happened.
Let's cut to the chase and just get right to it. Chase Blaine, what do we got for local news?
For local news?
Yeah.
Actually, something really interesting. I don't know if it's just interesting to me or if it's interesting to everybody. But a piece of town-owned land at the center of a contentious conservation debate in the town of Holbrook was sold today at a town hall auction. This is according to the Patriot Ledger. The property is 28 acres, which has been owned by the town for decades and has come to be seen by neighbors as kind of an unofficial extension of the town forest. But it attracted one bid for $140,000. For those of you who don't know grand, that's $140,000. And that's from a developer who's looking to build 5 stories of senior housing on the site.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That's, you know what? You can generally get that through the small town. They're going to be like...
Yeah. And Holbrook is... So Holbrook is next to Braintree, which is... It basically goes Holbrook, Braintree, Quincy, Boston. But there is a group of community members trying to go against this. They're calling themselves Save the 32. They have t-shirts and signs that say things such as, "We can't get it back once it's gone." Yeah. It was supposed to be 32 acres, which is why they say that. It turns out it's about 28. But there are a lot of people in the community of Holbrook that are very, very much against this.
Well, I've never heard about people being upset about, like, senior living. You know, seniors in my backyard. You elderly, get out of my town.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm all for the preservation of nature. But at the same time, it's sitting there,
yeah.
And old people need a place to live.
Yeah. It's not like they're opening a strip club or dog
exactly.
track.
Exactly. Like, you know, that's the thing. It's not like it's like a casino or something.
Yeah,
like, this is something that's going to be very helpful, especially for people who have lived in this community their whole lives and would prefer to stay in the Holbrook area.
They're quiet. It's not going to lower your property values. You're not going to be sitting around going, "Oh my God, these shuttle buses are running noon and night on their way to the theater in Foxwoods and all these other places. I can't take those seniors living there anymore.
How dare they get old?"
You are going to have a substantial increase in ambulance traffic around the area, though. That's the one downside to having the senior living center down the street from your place. But come on. It's old people.
Everyone's going to be out of Melt the Toast.
Yeah.
Like every single store.
Yeah, good luck getting rum raisin ice cream downtown because the seniors will take it all. It's what they do. All right. Oh, man.
I know, right? That's why I wanted to include it. I was just like, Derek will love this.
Here we go. This is for my money, the story of the year, quite possibly. From the Boston Globe. Mayor Hazel F. Correa II of Fall River, facing the political fight of his life, delivered a stunning victory Tuesday night as voters ousted him from office in a recall election and then ushered him back into power by picking him to be the city's next chief executive.
What?
Mayor Hazel F. Correa II of Fall River, facing the political fight of his life, delivered a stunning victory Tuesday night as voters ousted him from office in a recall election and then ushered him back into power by picking him to be the city's next chief executive.
I don't understand.
Correa.
And I'm a smart woman.
Correa.
Like, this is... What?
Korea, a 27-year-old Democrat, held on to his job.
I love that his name is Korea.
Under a quirk. It's a quirk, Shay. Under a quirk in the city charter.
I'm sorry, I try not to snort in the air, but that was necessary.
Which allowed him to run for re-election on the same ballot that sought to recall him. He was the second Fall River mayor to face a recall since 2014, when William Flanagan was forced to leave office. The ballot asked voters to decide two questions, whether to recall Correa and whom to elect as the next mayor. More than 60% of the voters recalled Correa, with 700,829 in favor of the recall and 4,911 against, but he will remain in office because he finished first in a five-way race for the city's top job. Also running for mayor were longtime city councilor Joseph D. Camara, school committee member Paul Coogan, school administrator Kyle Riley, and Erica Scott Pacheco, director of development at a legal services nonprofit. Profit.
Correa, I'm sorry, I'm trying so hard not to laugh.
Correa garnered 4,808 votes, or about 35% of the votes. Coogan received 4,567 votes, or 33%. An exuberant Correa celebrated his victory with supporters at Barrett's waterfront. Quotes, "I am honestly overwhelmed, and everyone in the room knows I'm usually not speechless," he said. "Today, I am speechless. It's because of you we won the election. We're going to win another one in November. We're going to keep winning. We're going to keep winning. We're going to make Fall River, Massachusetts, the best city in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts."
Okay, that is the funniest part of all of this, is saying that Fall River could ever be the best city in Massachusetts.
Coogan.
I'm sorry, this is so funny.
Coogan addressed supporters at Scotty's Pub on Tuesday night and hinted he would try to unseat Correa in the fall during the city's biennial election. Quote, "I'm a tad upset, and I'm looking at September," said Coogan, as the crowd began to chant his name. All right.
You're kidding me, right?
I am not
kidding.
The
crowd began to chant his
name. Coogan, Coogan.
It's just, like, honestly, I'm sorry. I try. It drives Derek crazy when I laugh and snort on the air. But how can I not to this?
I
mean, this is absurd.
Full disclosure, I laughed out loud myself.
I can't believe I didn't read this.
When I read the headline this morning.
Right? Sorry.
Because I've been waiting for I've been holding off on following the Correa story. Now, how's you left Correa?
And my favorite part is that his name is Correa.
Was indicted by a federal grand jury and arrested by the FBI late last year for wire fraud, for defrauding investors, because he collected a lot of money for a startup company and then spent the car on casinos, a Mercedes-Benz, and undisclosed adult entertainment.
I mean, at least he got a good car.
And adult entertainment.
I'd be super annoyed if he got a BMW.
I don't know if he's going to the rub and tug spa or what he's doing, but
I hope it's good adult entertainment.
61% of the town voted to recall the mayor. Okay, but this is
goodness.
If you want to understand how this happens, first of all, this is a stupid rule that a mayor who is being recalled can also be on the ballot for re-election. That's a stupid rule, and Fall River, you need to fix that. Okay, that's number one. Number two, there are 85,000 people in Fall River, roughly, according to 2016 numbers. Only 20% of the voters bothered to show up for this election. So Correa only won re-election with 7.8% of all eligible voters in Fall River. Less than 8%. So 13,000 people show up. 64% of them vote to remove him. And then you got this five-way race going, and he gets the majority because the same people who voted to keep him in office voted for him to be mayor. So with less than 8% of the electorate...
I call that Trump syndrome.
Less than 8% of eligible voters, Hazio Left Korea gets to serve out his term. Are you kidding me?
I mean...
Are you kidding me?
if I had the energy, I would throw my hands in the air.
Yeah. this whole thing.
The reason I don't have the energy is because I laugh so hard for the last 5 minutes.
I've come to expect this sort of behavior from that part of New England, because there really is a lot of this that goes on down there where, like, people get indicted, people go to jail, they still wind up being mayor. And other than Haziel Korea, I'm not going to name names, but we know who I'm talking about. When people talk about corruption in government, this is it, okay? Maybe Korea's a great mayor. I don't know.
I mean, his name's Korea. How good can he be?
All I know is that there has to be somebody in Fall River who would be a great mayor who isn't under federal indictment right now.
Yeah.
Who isn't likely to go to jail.
That's what never...
Before the end of this
year. That's what never makes sense to me is, like, do you know how many, like, when I drove across the country, the biggest thing that occurred to me was how many people there are in this country.
Yeah.
Like, there are so many people.
It's like 336 million.
Mind-boggling.
Yeah, 338 million, I believe, now.
Like, I would never go to China just because that seems terrifying, because they're the only ones with more than us.
Yeah, they got more like 1.5 billion, maybe 2 billion in China now.
Yuck. But I've never understood just, like, okay, this guy has so much. Do you know how many other people there are that could be your mayor? Like...
But here's the thing. This guy got
absurd.
This guy got 8% of the voters to show up and reelect him. That's under a quirk.
So,
it's like,
I mean, it makes me understand how that dum-dum is our president.
Here's the problem. A majority of people in town want him gone, but they didn't show up to vote. Now, how do you solve this? And as I've been thinking about this today, I've come to realize that this is the solution not just to this problem, but to all of the problems that we have. We need to mandate voting in the United States of America. Voting must be
mandatory. Duty. Yeah, like jury duty. You get called to do it, you do it.
If you don't vote, you go to jail or you get fined. But you vote.
I love voting as long as I go in the off-peak times. I hate waiting in line to check a box.
There are a number of countries that have this. And there are a number, interestingly, of South American countries that have this.
Like, most other countries in the world, I look at them and I'm like, yeah, this is exactly how it should be. I remember when I lived in Italy, I needed medication for a cold sore. And I walked into the pharmacy and said, yo... E pez de la boca, which means I have mouth herpes.
Yeah, yo, ouchie.
And so dame medicino. They gave me the medicine for it, and I paid for it, and that's how it works. I get back to America. I tried to get this one day, gone. I get back to America and kept trying to describe the medicine that I had in Italy to the American pharmacist, and they were like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I needed a prescription to get a cream that you put on your mouth. And I remember just sitting there being like, why do I have to jump through so many hoops for this? I remember being in Canada and cracking my head open, and they just fixed it.
Yeah, here's medical care.
Canada's
not a fair comparison, because they got 30 million people. They got 36 million people. We got like 380 million.
Add a zero to that.
Yeah. Like Canada's population is the size of California. We talked about this, I think, last week.
Yes, we did.
So,
but at the same time, I mean, the same thing can be implemented here. It just, nobody wants to go through the trouble of
Let me tell you some places.
Bernie 2020, get it.
Let me tell you some places where voting is mandatory.
Uzbekistan.
Ask you what you think about these countries. Argentina. Mandatory voting.
I've always wanted to go to Argentina.
Argentina is generally considered one of the better countries on the planet.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Peru, mandatory voting.
Same.
Everyone I know who's been there says that Peru is magnificent. This is one of the places
I've never been to South America. I'd really like to go there. Now that I know that it's required.
Ecuador. You don't hear much about Ecuador.
Other than that it's on the equator.
Yeah.
Which is why it's called Ecuador.
Other than it's there and seems to be stable. Brazil has mandatory voting. There's an argument. But Brazil...
Sounds like the North has to take a cue from the South.
Mandatory voting in Brazil is only if you're literate. So, you know,
only if you're literate.
Only if you're literate.
So, and how many people in Brazil are actually literate?
It's basically voting is mandatory.
My goodness,
voting is mandatory if you were one of the educated elites, and that's not quite, I think, what you're looking for.
I wonder how many people pretend to not be literate to stop themselves from having to vote.
Singapore has mandatory voting.
Singapore is the coolest place ever.
Singapore is kind of like a weird little thing if you understand the history of that country.
I would say they also have the lowest crime rate ever because, like, littering gets you a year in jail.
Yeah. Well, no, it doesn't get you a year in jail. They take you to the public square and whip you. That's what they do. Like, if your hair is...
Singapore is so cool.
If you are a man and your hair is too long, you will be refused service everywhere you go.
That's my favorite episode of... You ever watched The Layover?
Yes.
With Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah.
May he rest in peace. That was my favorite episode when he went to Singapore.
Singapore is quirky because they are a homogenous ethnic group.
Oh, yeah.
And they basically, they're in Singapore because they fled China.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's like...
And they were like, we're going to band together and do this thing.
It's almost like a commune of a country.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's just like, we like it this way. We're all going to collect here. But
but everyone who goes there says it's a wonderful place to go. That it's you know.
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful.
Beautiful.
It's
so people are
clean.
Nice. It's safe.
Everyone's so nice. It's very safe. Well, that's what Anthony Bourdain actually said. He's like, you know, I'm tempted to smoke pot, but I also don't want to get arrested. So I don't think I should.
Liechtenstein, mandatory voting. Who knows? It's Liechtenstein. Luxembourg, mandatory voting. Again, two of the tiniest countries.
I was going to say, Luxembourg is about the size of Boston.
Yeah. Like. Belgium. Mandatory voting.
I don't get why it isn't mandatory here.
You know how they have all those riots going on in France right now, and they're kind of spreading up into the UK right now, and they're always rioting in Spain, and they're always rioting in parts of Italy?
Yeah, my friends told me.
You know where they don't seem to riot that much? Belgium. Mandatory voting.
Chocolate, mannequin peace.
Australia.
Belgium has the best statue in the world.
Australia is interesting because Australia always had mandatory voting, but it didn't apply to Aborigines until 1984. So as of 1984, everybody in Australia is required to vote.
Interesting.
And
that's the year my brother was born.
The people who study mandatory voting look at Australia now and they say, look at all. Australia is really, really well run. And Australia is,
it is
way ahead of the rest of the world on issues like gun control and climate change. Mm-hmm. And the people who have studied Australia say that mandatory voting is the reason why, because the will of the people has to be respected.
But that's the whole idea about democracy is like...
And politicians, like these fringe wacko politicians, never get elected.
Because the people speak.
Yeah.
And that's the great irony about the low voter count in our country, is that we, not us personally, but our forefathers fought tooth and nail to give us the right to vote, to make it possible for us to implement change. And so many people are like, no, but my soap's on, so I can't go. Like, it's such a wonderful right and privilege to vote.
But here's the thing. Even if you're one of those people who is obsessed with Kardashians, you probably have some dim awareness that there's people concerned about climate, or some dim awareness that taxes are bad. And you may have an uninformed opinion about it, but you have an opinion, and that may translate into a vote for somebody. What they found in Australia was that all of the fringe wackiness went away once mandatory voting became the rule.
Precisely.
Look at the battles we're fighting in this country right now. You're either Republicans complaining about voter fraud, or you're Democrats complaining about people not having access to the polls. If voting is mandatory for everybody between the ages of 18 and 70, which is the way that all these countries do it, both of those issues go away overnight. They're gone.
Well, and that's precisely my point.
Because everybody has to go vote.
That's precisely my point. Is that, like, I sit there on Facebook and I've finally realized just don't engage is the best policy. But there are all these people ranting and raving about their opinions that don't go out to the polls and vote.
If you are upset,
and it's like Facebook does nothing.
If you are upset about the election of President Donald Trump, President,
then go and vote him out of office.
But here's the thing. If you had mandatory voting in this country, Donald Trump would not be president of the United States.
The people that voted in our last presidential election are the people that really wanted Donald Trump to be president.
They showed up and no one else did.
Exactly. And that I remember that night so clearly, just looking, being like, there's no way this is accurate. There is no way that he is winning by this much. And it was because everyone else who didn't want Donald Trump to be president just kind of went, nah, screw it.
If you were not a fan of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, mandatory voting would have prevented her from stealing that primary. Mm-hmm. Because if everybody shows up,
she's pretty dope, though.
They're the guy that's been in there forever. I forget his name at the moment. But the guy that had been in there forever, the majority was with him. A small number of voters, like we're talking about Haziel Korea type thing, where 8% of the electorate shows up and backs this candidate, and then everyone else in the district sits there and goes, wait, where did this come from? How did that person get elected? You didn't show up. You didn't vote. Mandatory voting makes all of this go away. And it is not usually my position to advocate for things on this show. I can't tell you who to vote for because our FCC license won't let us.
Yes, we try to be very objective.
I don't typically engage in advocacy on this program because I like people to make up their own minds. However, every now and again,
I hate when people do that.
Every now and again, something comes along that is such an obvious no-brainer that I have to look at it and say, you know what? I'm on board with this. Mandatory voting. I am 100% on board.
Dude, high five across the board.
Everyone who is running for office in 2020, which is next year, should be asked, what is your position on mandatory voting? And
their position should be I.
And I believe you should support candidates who support mandatory voting, because mandatory voting is something that we could enact in 2020 and clean up Congress in 2022. You would have a huge impact on the House of Representatives and end a lot of this nonsense and a lot of division in this country. Maybe actually get some movement on gun control. Maybe actually get some movement on climate issues that you care about. Maybe actually get a workable Green New Deal. But the only way that you're going to do that is if you get mandatory voting. If everybody comes out and says, we want to do this, then the government has to sit there and say, all right, the people have spoken. We have a mandate. We have to go do the Green New Deal.
And that's
to go make this happen.
And like I said, that's the irony of that we even have to talk about this.
Support
is
candidates.
That our country was founded on the fact that the people need to have a voice.
Yeah.
That is the beginning of the Constitution is we the people of the United States of America. That is the whole freaking point. And the fact that, I mean, look up the average amount of voters. Like, it's probably like 45% of people who can legally vote. It's disgusting. Like, it.
8% of the people of Fall River put embattled. By the way, three adjectives you never want to have next to your name. Because it's a sign that lazy journalists are coming after you. Yes, you should write this down. Three adjectives you never want to hear next to your name. Number one is controversial. That means someone has accused you of doing the bad thing. Number two is embattled. That means
that's a good word, though.
You have been suspected, possibly charged, of doing the bad thing. You may be the subject of an outside investigation, and we know that the outside investigation is the worst kind of investigation, or the subject of a full investigation. Neither one of those are good for you. That's what gets you to embattled. And then the third is disgraced. That means you have been found guilty of the bad thing and removed from whatever position that you previously held. So controversial, embattled, and disgraced. Never want those adjectives next to your name. 8% show up in Fall River and put embattled mayor Haziel F. Curia back in office on the same night that they voted to recall him.
I mean, are you, what, like, what?
Simple.
Like, it's
simple. This is how American political corruption works. The rules are written by people in power so that they can stay in power. That's what this is. If you have mandatory voting.
Sorry, if you guys didn't hear that properly, it was.
If you have mandatory voting, this can't happen. This would never happen.
No, it would not, because smart people would have to get off their butts and go and actually vote. Jesus H. Christ. I swore to myself I would not get angry tonight.
Moving on.
In national news. Oh, yay. Still gonna get angry. President, I'm using air quotes, Donald Trump announced an emergency order from the Federal Aviation Administration today, grounding Boeing 737 MAX jets in the wake of an Ethiopian Airlines crash Sunday and a Lion Air accident in October that killed 346 people. Dum Dum's announcement came as the FAA faced mounting pressure from the aviation advocates and others to ban flights of the planes pending the completion of investigations into the deadly accidents. Sunday's crash killed 157 people, and one in Indonesia in October left 189 people dead. This is all according to CNN.
The crash in both cases occurred during takeoff and occurred with pilots fighting for control of the plane.
Cute.
And apparently there was a question involving a sensor on this 737 MAX series that was designed to force the nose of the plane down when it detected a stall. And this has been talked about. This may have been the cause of the crash late last year. The bigger issue is, and you know, look, if you want to say bad things about the president, Shay, I'm not going to argue with you. But when he's doing something in the name of public safety and grounding a jet that clearly does not belong in the air, this is not the time or place for that. Trump is right about this, and the fact that the FAA did not ground this jet immediately. Should be a huge concern to the American people.
I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm just, I am, sorry, my personal feelings came in.
Broken clock is right twice a day.
That's true.
And Trump, this is twice a year.
Yeah, the thing is, like, oh my God, you actually did something presidential. Like, yeah. That's why I get angry about it, is because, this was so strange for me to read.
Yeah, so this...
Because I was like, you're doing, like, what you're supposed to do instead of what you usually do, which is utter nonsense.
So March 10th, which was Monday, Ethiopia, China, and Indonesia grounded all of the Boeing 737 MAX jets, the MAX 8. That was followed by the European Union grounding all of those jets on Tuesday. The FAA is still sitting there, and USA Today is still running articles saying, oh, don't worry about flying the Boeing MAX. The Boeing MAX is fine. It's great. Everybody's having a good time. Get on the Boeing MAX. Because Boeing is an American company, and if we ground the jets, we're going to hurt the stock market, and we don't want to hurt the stock market. This is a problem. This is a really big problem. Because these two crashes may not be related. People on the ground, when the Ethiopian Air jet came down on Sunday, said that it was trailing white smoke, and it was making noises that they'd never heard an airplane make before.
Jesus.
So something may have gone catastrophically wrong with the plane that does not involve the sensor. The problem is, this was a brand new aircraft. This was an aircraft that went into service in November, and Ethiopian Air is recognized around the world now as one of the safer airlines, according to international regulators. They are considered the best airline operator in Africa. And they are very, and they've taken safety and training very seriously, and they've become very popular because of this. So, if you're flying to a safari or you're flying on a mission, there was somebody with ties to Massachusetts on the plane who died. She was flying as part of a mission to do some community service work. You're probably going to fly Ethiopian Air. Everybody loves them. And they went out and they bought these new planes because they wanted new planes. They didn't want to be flying the old rattle buckets that are all over the place in parts of Europe. You know, you get on Ryanair.
So weird to think of, Ryanair.
Yeah,
oh my goodness.
You get on a Ryanair and you're like, wait, does this.
Remember, they charged me €200
is this gonna hold
to
together?
Check a bag.
Yeah.
And I get on the plane and was like, you should be paying me €200 to voluntarily get on.
Here's your designated lawn chair. Enjoy. Don't worry about seatbelts because it's really, you know.
I was just talking to my mom about Ryanair.
Yeah, I appreciate you appreciate the honesty of Ryanair. But it's not like, you know, because Boeing's going to sit there and they're going to be like, oh, Africa, they're not taking care of the planes. Or Indonesia, they're not taking care of the planes. These are brand new planes. Two of them have gone down with total loss of life in 5 months. Other pilots have talked about a situation where the nose of the plane is forced down because a sensor malfunctions, and then they have to fight with the plane to regain control. Something is not right here. And these may be totally unrelated accidents, or maybe totally different causes. Maybe there's terrorism involved. We don't know. What we know is that two brand new jets from the same manufacturer have crashed and killed everybody on board under suspicious circumstances. And in the best interests of safety and the flying public, all these jets should be on the ground. Every last one of them should be on the ground until we know with certainty that they are safe to fly.
Yeah, that's, I mean, there are people that don't fly in airplanes, period. Those of us who do, I'd like to know that it's going to hold up to the hundreds of dollars I'm paying to fly in.
Yeah, because if the engine fails on the bus, like, you're going to be at the side of the road. If the engine fails on the airplane,
you're going to die in the Atlantic Ocean.
Say goodbye to this mortal coil, you know? Yeah. I mean, shuffle it off. I was really surprised to see.
Like, that's, I mean, this whole story is, that's why I wanted to include it. It's just absurd. Like, it beyond, like I said, president did the right thing, which is why it was so shocking, because he never does. But as someone who flies very frequently, I mean.
And he got dragged yesterday for tweeting that airplanes today are too complicated. and that's a problem. But you know what? That is a legitimate statement, because we have deployed all sorts of. And most people don't know this. Most people don't pay attention to engineering and technology. But one of the things
I do.
One of the things that's happened in recent years, controls on planes all used to be analog. And if you've ever seen a cockpit, you know that there is that that yoke with the two handles on it that they pull and push. And what that does is that that controls the rudders. Or the ailerons on the edges of the wings. So you pull back, they go up, you get lift.
I would say the things that kind of ebb and flow.
Yeah, they're called ailerons. You pull back, they go up, you get lift. You push forward, they go down, you get drag. And you move the nose of the plane up and down. There is also a pedal. That makes the rudder all the way at the back of the plane move back and forth when you step on it.
Yeah, you totally know more about planes than most people.
All of those controls throughout the history of aviation until recently were analog controls, which means there is a cable connecting that yoke or that pedal to the thing that it moves. In recent years, they have introduced what is called fly-by-wire, and these are all wireless systems. One of the issues with fly-by-wire, as a hacker demonstrated a few years ago, is that a passenger on the plane can take control of those systems, can hack into the plane, and basically take control of the plane from the pilot. Because it is not a cable connecting the yoke to the ailerons. It is a Wi-Fi signal. And most passengers aren't aware of this. They don't realize this is airplane technology has changed radically in the last 10 years. And most of the systems that are in place have been put in for safety. They've been put in for resiliency. But we plow forward with technology and all these new innovations without really asking the question all the time of whether or not we should. Sometimes the old systems are just better. Sometimes analog gets the job done in a better way than your new wireless system. And when Donald Trump tweets, technology might be is getting too complex, that's what he's saying. He's saying, and Donald Trump is a guy that knows planes. He's like friends with the president of Boeing and likes Boeing aircraft.
That is the least shocking thing I've ever heard.
Exactly. But I was very...
Of course he is.
I was surprised to see...
I wouldn't be surprised if he knew Tesla.
I was surprised to see the FAA refusing to ground this plane, which it should have done. Normally, they're the... If this had been an Airbus that was having those problems, we would have grounded that immediately. We would have grounded that within hours of the crash. We would have been like, all the Airbuses, nope, gone, out of our airspace. Well, because it's Boeing, because it's an American company, not only is the FAA not taking action, you have newspapers saying, oh, it's safe to fly in a Boeing Max. Don't worry about it. We don't know that. We don't know that. And the fake news media would do well to keep their mouths shut when they don't know. Of course, they can't because they're compulsive liars. And compulsive liars going to lie. But this was
we do that.
But this was an attempt to protect an American business at the possible, because it's a Dow component, and I understand you don't want the stock market going down, but you know what? You really don't want planes going down and killing people either.
That's fair.
And when it comes to this,
I think uniquely as Americans, we're a little sensitive when it comes to planes and people dying. Due to that whole thing that happened when I was a sophomore in high school.
But I mean, but even that, air travel has become ridiculously safer. It is so much safer.
Well, they always say that you're more likely to die on the way to the airport than you are in an actual airplane.
Back in the 1970s, we used to have a fatal plane crash probably every 4 to 6 months where hundreds of people would die. They were on the news all the time, all over the world. You know, it doesn't happen anymore. You know, 9/11 was sort of like, that wasn't a plane crash. Those people deliberately flew those planes into things. That's a different situation.
It's different, but at the same time, it's like anything else where whenever you take any sort of risk, however small, you're rolling the dice. You're thinking about the fact that, you know, I could be sitting in my closet all day praying, but instead I'm going to drive to the airport, get on an airplane, and fly, and then end up wherever I end up. You have a predispositioned, calculated risk when you decide to get on an airplane.
Absolutely. But at the same time, the FAA is an organization that is supposed to minimize that risk. And for that agency, it's a government agency, by the way.
Yes, I know.
If there is so much
That's why it has federal at the beginning of it.
If there is so much as a 1% increase in the risk of getting on a particular model of plane, I think the understanding the American people have is you're going to ground those planes. That we're not going to wait for it to be a 50% risk. Doesn't need to be a 25% risk. If it is a 1% risk, you are going to ground the planes. Mm. That did not happen here. Mm. It took an executive order from the President of the United States to get the planes on the ground. And then everybody ran around afterward trying to take credit for it. Boeing said, oh, no, we've grounded these voluntarily. No, you did not. The President of the United States...
Our orange-faced dum-dum did it.
The President of the United States called the FAA, whose job it is to ground planes, and said, ground those planes. This is unacceptable level of risk. And maybe it's 0.5% higher. I don't care.
WMFO Medford.
Talking about something where the risk of a catastrophic accident that kills hundreds of people...
was avoided.
Ultimately.
Yeah.
By an act of the President... not by an act of the agency.
It's like the first thing that I've ever thought he did right.
It's maybe third in my book.
There's no sun up in the sky, stormy weather.
Maybe third.
Yeah, but you're rightest.
I'm not rightest. That's not even a thing.
I know, I just made it up.
That's not even a word. I'm wrongest when it comes to pressing the buttons on this board.
There's no sun up in the sky. Why is leftist the word, but rightist isn't?
Stormy weather. The word you're looking for is conservative. Your Boston, five-day forecast. Tonight, it's going to be cloudy. It's going to clear out later tonight. Temperatures fall down into the mid-30s, so a chilly one tonight. And then spring preview, kids. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies. Highs in the low 50s. Low in the mid-40s tomorrow night. Friday, showers around in the morning and kind of bouncing around off and on all day long. But temperatures in the low 60s. We may break 60 on Friday. Lows in the mid-40s on Friday night.
Hold on to your hats.
Saturday, mostly sunny, high around 50 degrees. We fall back into the freezing range. Temperatures around freezing Saturday night. And then on Sunday, St. Patrick's Day, if you're going to the parade, if you're just wandering around town and getting drunk, bring yourself a scally cap and a jacket. Highs are only going to be in the low 40s, and lows are going to be in the upper 20s. So
a bunch of hoes.
One little more kiss of sort of real winter weather on Sunday and Monday, and then we're going to feel like spring again. So spring officially begins next week, and I think it's going to be arriving just in time. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. It is WMFO Medford on the tell Mikey D coming your way at 9 o'clock. More from Shay and I after this as we celebrate the month of March.
In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps tonight. In the jungle, the quiet jungle, the lion sleeps tonight. Oh,
You're buying a pork roast or pork chops? This is Sarah Beck for the U.S. Department of Agriculture with a few suggestions. Most stores carry a wide selection of pork cuts, so shop carefully and select the one that suits your needs best. High-quality, fresh pork will be grayish pink or darker in color. Also be sure the meat is firm and not pale, soft, or watery. And consider the amounts of fat and bone when you compare costs per pound of different pork cuts.
This is the sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like Mom might be taking it out a little early. Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Chase Blaine. With me, as always, is the illustrious Derek Gary.